Correct. So as soon as you give me that, well, then I have no choice but to speculate, what could this be about? And are we right? We don't know. Could be wrong. But now
we can never know. Nothing could come from this. They could use this as leverage. They could use it for evidence in another criminal case that's pending. They can use it for leverage in another criminal case. They can use it for so many different things.
Well, here's something else that I find when I'm connecting dots and looking at things. I happen to know that the Thomas Barak trial starts in a few
weeks.
And again, let's get back to the manga influencers. Let's get back to right-wing media. Let's get back to mainstream media. How many people know who Thomas Barak is?
I would say Very few. Yeah.
So, I mean, and there's a whole lot to Thomas Barak. We could do a couple shows on that alone. But the one of the most interesting things that he was involved with that leads me to my personal speculation here is that he was lobbying along with Flynn, IP3 International, which is a nuclear technology company, oddly formed in June of 16. And one of their main projects was to transfer nuclear technology from the U.S. to Saudi Arabia. Now, who was all involved with this? Barak, Flynn, Kushner. But they were going around Congress. And there were two House Oversight Committee.
Yeah, Cummings had a big report on this, but it never was really...
Two reports.
Yeah, and they were never really mainstreamed. They were kind of kept swept under the rug.
Well, this is why I go back to right-sided media and right influencers. So you're keeping stuff from people, and there's a reason for that, because it's political, and you don't want to...
And you could be burned at the stake by these lunatics.
Well, and their job is to not have you focus on these things. It's to focus on other things, you know, victimization, raise money, blah, 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 blah.
Stop the steal. The election was stolen. Send us a contribution, you know, $400 million dollars later. Oh, we don't have any proof. A whole lot of proof.
Well, so this happened in 2019, meaning the actual incident happened way into the administration before the administration took office and carried through. But the Oversight Committee reports, one was February of 19, one was July of 19. So I know about this since then. Dustin and I were actually investigating Lars Butler of AI Foundation, and we saw that he was on the board of IP3 International. We're like, whoa, what is IP3 International? Now we start investigating it. And then we're like, holy shit. But as a Trump voter, a Trump supporter, I read everything I could on it and had to sit still, you know, and say, you know, as a citizen, I would really like to know what this is about. Like, why is this not being talked about? Why can't we talk about it? And you know, heaven forbid we talked about it. But now that you allow me as a citizen to speculate based on who signed the warrant, okay, you're talking about an organization of ex-military, co-founder Keith Alexander, James Cartwright, Jack Keane, Navy SEAL Eric Olson. Who else is on there? Michael Hewitt, Bud McFarland. These are some heavy hitters. So then you had Flynn and Barak, Thomas Barak, lobbying the White House, and who was in attendance is known is Trump and Kushner and Gary Cohen and Pompeo and Rick Perry. So now all of this thing is open source. Go find it. February 2019, July 2019, go read the reports. And then ask yourself, where did this go to die? And how much of this is redacted in the Mueller report?
I'd say it's a considerable amount.
Okay. So what is this search and seizure really about? Now, again, my speculation could be totally wrong, but at least I get to say it now.
I don't think it's wrong because, or I don't think it's really perhaps that off, or there's could be parallel things going on, because I heard from some folks this week and they're like, dude, you went there? And I said, yeah, fuck it. We went there.
Good. And you know why?
They were like,
it gave you the opportunity.
We didn't think, no, I mean, this is folks from inside Justice. They're saying, we didn't think anybody really knew that much about this. And I said, oh, you're fucking wrong, man. And then they said, why didn't you report on it before? I said, some things I put in the cedar chest. I let them age in the cedar chest, and then I pull them out when I need a nice little fresh smelling blanket.
Well, or something that's when like that. This is when I always tease you and want you to play the clip of you can't handle the truth. See, that's the point. Like, there's things we would love to talk about, but then you're spending your whole week fighting off the bots, the trolls, the fake ones and the real ones. Or you're justifying, trying to justify something. We knew in 19, people were not ready to hear this stuff. I mean, you're coming up on a 2020 election. This was pre-COVID, But, some of us.
I got involved in that right around COVID. So as I told people when I read it from the stuff we had written on this in December 2019, that just literally, and this happens a lot in this business. It just got left on the cutting room floor. I could probably do a book. That might be interesting. Of the articles we didn't publish, they were like, holy shit articles. And they've all come true. And they're all,
right.
Dated and marked as drafts in the old, I had to go into True Pundit to pull this one out.
Right.
I was like,
December of 19.
I said, how do we get back into the True Pundit? Because it's still up and the archives are still there and everything. We keep it going because we did so many stories. But I had to go back in there and go through the drafts. I said, I know we covered this. We just didn't publish it. Lost in the beginning of COVID. And at the same time, almost to the day, it's weird. We just started the podcast in the middle of December, terrible time to start, people would think. I said, well, why are you starting it before Christmas? I said, I don't know. We got the money, so I figured we'll start it. And, it turned out to be a fantastic time to start it.
Right.
But that's being in the right place at the right time. That right. Doesn't always happen.
So if you drill down and you go do some research, it says IP3's plan to transfer the nuclear technology from the U.S. to Saudi Arabia for use in a proposed joint U.S.-Russian project, a possible violation of the Atomic Energy Act. Now,
well, the problem with the Atomic Energy
Act. Who signed off on the warrant?
Well,
what division?
Atomic Energy Act. It's very specific. Like, only Congress and the Department of Energy with Congress, et cetera, can really negotiate these things. A cabinet member or anybody on behalf of the White House can't go rogue and start negotiating with another country to sell them nuclear technology of this country. It's kind of a big problem. And the other issue is this was done during the transition.
Oh, yeah.
Trump wasn't even sworn in yet. He was elected, and these cats went right to work, according to Justice folks we know. And so, I talked about this a few times, but I really haven't. Everybody danced around saying, oh, there were abuses of the FISA process. Well, there were later on when the warrants were renewed, but that original warrant was completely legit from what I've seen.
Right.
And these guys opened up. Now, they were being watched, right? They had a lot of enemies in justice. And when these guys watch you and you make a mistake, they pounce. And that's what they did. Comey and McCabe and the whole crew, they saw an opening. They saw an opening here and they got the warrants. And that's how they got up. And people, Nunez's of the world and Mark Meadows, it's illegal. Well, how they actually kept going and abusing the process after the initial warrants, they definitely, abused it and likely broke a number of laws, far more laws than they've been accused of breaking. But the original warrant it looks like was completely legit. I said that this week. And they gave these guys an opening, and these guys, they don't need permission. They don't need much sunlight, much daylight. If they can get a finger in the door, that's all they need, and that's what they were given. If you start negotiating private contracting for nuclear technology, don't forget, it's like the guy was just elected. It's like, as an American, who the fuck are you you're not even in the White House and you're negotiating nuclear deals outside of Congress. And, so the FBI, they were brought into it by a number of people who ratted these guys out saying, you can't do that. And some of them were in the Department of Energy and Department of Defense saying, these guys are going rogue, man. They're ready to strike fucking nuclear deals with other countries.
Right.
That's a big problem.
And they're still operational. You know, if you look up the company, they're definitely still operational. What was ever going on with these two reports and why nothing came of it, or it was just shelved,
Well, Barack is going on trial here in the next couple of weeks for illegal lobbying for UAE and administration.
Right.
And what's his associate name? Grimes or something?
Matthew
Grimes.
Matthew Grimes.
So it's going to be interesting. So the question is, does this warrant have something to do with that?
Oh, well, this is what I'm saying. That's why I'm talking about this, because my dots connect three things. That's who signed, what division signed the warrant, what we know about, atomic energy, Thomas Barak lobbying for it. That's where it's leading me to think that what this is about. Now, Barack has other problems too. I think, isn't he still under the gun because he ran the inauguration committee?
That could play into it. But there's some other cat that I was reading about, UAE Rashid Al-Malik.
He's involved. He was involved.
They've been looking for this cat. They still can't get this cat. He was indicted and they can't find. So this is like kind of a heavyweight thing. And not a lot of people
are paying attention to it. It's a very big case. Nobody's paying attention to it. It, just like when we spoke a long time ago of the Reza Zarab case. We spoke about it, but it never went anywhere. It's been everything we talk about is open source. Tons of
when you look at the indictment of these three guys we're talking about, the basic accusations are that these three guys took part in a plot to secretly advance UAE's interests at the direction of senior officials of the UAE by influencing Trump's 2016 campaign foreign policy positions and U.S. government stances during the first half of Trump's presidency. So, and this is Middle East. This has a lot, illegal lobbying, alleged illegal lobbying, and Middle East policy and nuclear technology. This is heavyweight shit. It really
is. It's major. It's major.
Now, whether it gets any play, whether justice officials are going to leak this out, if that's what it's about, you're not going to see that. You're not going to see that warrant.
No. Let's see. Because again, here's why I finally decided to talk about this tonight. Because I added up my couple dots and said, okay, this checks the box. And then I said to you, I texted you yesterday, and I said, is this one that the clock has run out on? And what was your answer to me?
Well, normally it would be, because you're talking about transition, which is, you can put a lid on that. It's 2021. He was inaugurated on the January 20th. But see, this also could extend past that. But if you're talking about like selling nukes to a different country and negotiating that, then there's all different kinds of statutes they can use that don't have the
What was your exact word to me?
I just discovered the depth of miseducation of America. There was this guy, Robert Mars, and he had quite a career during the American Revolution. including hiring Thomas Paine to help unite the colonies. But basically, he used the power of economic freedom to win the war, while the slave power barked at his heels and the British Empire banged on the door. The book I'm talking about proves that America wasn't founded on slavery, but on economic freedom. The New York Times might not like that, but this book, Robert Morris, Inside the Revolution, has over 2,000 endnotes to prove it. Now we can learn how Morris championed free markets in the face of shortages. When hyperinflation hit, Morris supported a silver-based currency. He ran an international spy network, and he smuggled tea and weapons. He set the course of America's foreign relations in a way that lasted 70 years. He ran the Continental Navy, and he had an interest in 250 privateer vessels. And he didn't just take his winnings home. One year, he personally put up more for the war than all the states combined. He coordinated the French fleet and Washington's arrival at Yorktown. He got rid of religious test laws and signed all three founding documents. Later, he lost his fortune with bad real estate investments. When his political opposites, the slave power, won the election of 1800, they focused on their futures, not his past successes. Instead, if they mentioned him at all, they cast him as a bankrupt. Read all about this and more in Robert Morris, Inside the Revolution. It's available online, your favorite online bookstores. Also, for listeners of the Thomas Paine podcast, you can go to paine.tv/Morris directly for a link for the book. That's paine.tv/Morris, M-O-R-R-I-S.
You don't remember. Anyway.
I probably said something along the lines of they can actually use a number of different espionage things.
Right. So now when I
and I've never been a fan of that because people always say espionage, but I mean this is a little
no, but, this is a little but dicey. Again, that was another point because the National Security Division, that criminal statutes relating to espionage, sabotage, neutrality, and atomic energy, also the export of military and strategic commodities and technology. All right. So all of everything in this falls right under this division, is my point. So when you said that, I was like, bingo. Bingo, bingo, in my opinion. Now, I could be wrong. Totally
the
wrong.
Folks in
it
justice,
could be about stolen documents. It could be about J6.
When you talk about the Barack trial and Grimes, I mean, there's, you know, I talked to guys this week about that, and they say that there's a slew of classified government documents and materials and exhibits and things like that that are going to be used in this case, and they have to be, so it has to be treated differently. They can't air those things in public. So there's a, you know, the justice was busy working with defense lawyers, et cetera, to get that process going. It kind of takes on its...
Well, Garland basically said he wasn't answering any questions and there's a lot he can't talk about, but he did come up to clear up that he says he was aware of it and that he was filing the motion to unseal. That is basically what today was.
Well, now, I look at this, right? People haven't even heard of Barack, but the Justice Department let him walk. He put up $250 million.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably one of the highest bonds I've ever heard of.
I think it is the highest bond.
Yeah, I've never heard of a bond. So you don't put up $250 million bond if it doesn't, you know, this isn't over some bullshit lobbying beef, you know, where the guy got $400,000 or something like that or a million or two. I mean, this is like heavyweight stuff. Now,
right.
The Justice Department is at a disadvantage because they can't air a lot of this in public. Because it has to do with classified right. government materials that will be, you know, unveiled. But there's a number of different ways that they can look at them in camera, et cetera. They clear the room and or this might actually be kicked into. They have like almost like a classified court. You know what I mean? Where since it has to do with national security, heavyweight national security, that they can just
say, right.
Nobody gets in the courtroom. So you're not getting in. It's not open to the public because
right.
you, these things probably crisscross so many times. So it might be a case where, you know, reporters are like, oh, we're going to cover that trial. No, you're not. You're not going to be able to get into the room. And that happens a lot. That happens in telecommunications, happens with NSA type of cases. It happens with anything Department of Defense. Like, nobody mm-hmm. gets in. And then the defendants always complain, like, yeah, but we're being railroaded in, and we can't tell our story. And the judge is like, well, it's just the way it is. Like, you're in this business. You understood this at the outset, you know? You can't go, mm-hmm. it's almost like wag the dog. It's like, you know, I have to get credit. It's all about the credit. And they're like, yeah, okay, Pat, get in the back of the car.
Exactly.
You can't air this laundry in public. And so
right.
it makes me think that Trump can't, if this is tied into that, Trump can't air that search warrant in public either. And because
right.
if it starts to talk about classified government materials, you know, related to the Middle East, then it's going to be,
just like you said in the article.
Away. Yeah.
Well, the article you wrote in 2019, you were questioning, well, they keep threatening or teasing that they're going to declassify. Why aren't they declassifying? Which was, you know, the brilliant part of the article.
You couldn't Correct. Declassify because it would show that this shit was going on behind the scenes, because the transcripts and everything that the FBI was listening to, the conversations and everything.
Right.
And the phone conversations. Now, I mean, how do you declassify and unredact that and then explain that away? It's very,
right.
you know.
So that article was fantastic. And you have to ask yourself those questions that you were proposing in the article. And I always go back to how everyone is stuck with the media that's out there. And you say, okay, none of the top paid multimillion dollar pundits have ever spoken like this. They've never, you know, told the base any of these things or put it or framed it that way. Because no, you can't. That's the bottom line, is you can't. But there are millions of things operating in the background that unless you go in search of or stumble upon yourself, you're not going to know about it because the media will never tell you. Just like talking about IP3. No, that's never been discussed.
Well, here's the deal. It's people's perceptions of the media are jaded at best. Perhaps even mine were somewhat when I left journalism in 96 and started working in Intel and started doing a lot of different things in telecommunications and defense contracting, things like that. Many different things. And then I went to Citi and then I came back into journalism in 2015, 2016. Well, I still had the mindset that things were kind of still the same way they were in 96. The mindset where I left journalism, how to be a journalist, what to do, mm-hmm. what to cover. And that's not even, I mean, it's taken me a couple of years to understand, that's not the way it is at all anymore. I mean, it is telling half truths and only telling
right.
your base what they want to hear and protecting your, like protecting Trump. These guys, well, their
right.
fucking mission is to protect Trump because he is sugar daddy. People are going to tune in and they support him, and because they don't know who else to support, because they haven't figured out that it doesn't matter who you support, they're going to screw you. And so they are sewn to the hip. What they're, I call them trading card heroes. And then places
well,
like
that's
Fox,
why...
it's their business and they make money by not disparaging, not telling you the truth about certain people that are money. They're money makers for Fox. And so you don't get the truth. Yep.
Oh, right. Well, many people do know this. Okay. And probably started around 2008 with Barack Obama when the media really broke off into two camps, and the CNN people kept their people mesmerized and Fox News kept their people mesmerized, and that is ongoing. But there are certain things that no matter what, even if they wanted to talk about things, they can't and they won't. Because they're not going to break ranks in whatever propaganda has to be shoved down our throat. Where our problem as citizens are, is when we always talk about fixing problems. It's very hard to fix problems when people in your camp, let's say conservative, when they're still stuck with Fox News and wanting to believe what the Levins and the Hannitys and all of these people are saying, and they know nothing about the things we're talking about tonight. It's hard to have these people stand shoulder to shoulder with you fixing things. Like, I don't partake in the two-party illusion at all. Now, most of this for me did start major in 2018, right? So a lot of things, you know, the more you pull back the onion and you start seeing things. But it's hard to get that message out to people, just like the conversation I had with someone about vaccines today. I normally don't go that deep or get that cocky, but sometimes I even can't take a whole lot. So then I'll just start spitting out facts. They can't handle it. They don't want to talk about it. They're not somebody that you can stand shoulder to shoulder with. So I had another and I will say it over and over and over again, and I get angry every time I have to say it. When any of these influencers are out there from their soapbox preaching America first and these America first candidates, it's a lie.
We have an America first candidate. We have one.
Oh no, we have an America first movement.
Oh,
but
yeah,
but nobody can tell me.
It's actually my bank account first movement.
Yeah, no, no. Nobody can explain to me which one of these politicians.
I want to know where this was when I needed it. I could have used this back in the day. And Revy, R-E-V-V-I, power up your credit with Revy. That's R-E-V-V-I. Revy is the perfect card for the not-so-perfect credit. Revy is a genuine Visa credit card with rewards that is accepted by merchants across the USA and online. Revy card, that's R-E-V-V-I. Revy reports to all three major credit bureaus. Build your credit score with one-time payments and keeping your balance below the credit limit. Pay your bill, view transactions, and check available credit in our new mobile app. Revy, that's R-E-V-V-I again. Credit, rewards, purchase power. It all comes with the Revy card. Perfect credit, not required. Visit discover.revy.com to see how the Revy card can benefit you. Discover.revy. There's two V's in that. R-E-V-V-I.com. Discover.revy.com for our quick and easy application process. Discover.revy.com. That's discover.revy.com. See terms and conditions for details and check out discover.revy.com. I could have used that back in the day. We could all use a good hand up, etc. And of course, it's tough to buy stuff if you don't have a credit card sometimes, renting a car, etc. So these things come in more than handy. It's a new sponsor, and we're happy to be offering it to you folks. A Revy card
is going to go up against BlackRock's ESGs. Who's going to be the one to rip apart 2030? Nobody's talking about this. No one's interviewing people on this. And that's on both sides. You know, I don't watch CNN or MSNBC, so I don't know what they're doing. But the clips I see of Fox that come across my radar, I don't see anybody drilling down on Agenda 21 and how we got here. That it's such a cancer that's so far embedded, you know, no treatment or hospice is going to fix it. But yet you want to run and raise money on America First. Well, we just talked about a story tonight that I want to know how many America First people have spoken about, know about, and why not?
Well, they're not going to talk about this. This is literally a nuclear bomb.
My point, how do you stand shoulder to shoulder with people who don't want to, like it or not?
I don't stand shoulder to shoulder with any of them, neither do you, and neither should anybody else that listens to me. Listen.
No, but we wouldn't. What I'm trying to say is we wouldn't be in this bad of a predicament if more people learn to break that mainstream media habit. I've been begging for people by the millions to cancel your cable subscription. You could find your news elsewhere. What I spoke about in government documents, in committee documents, in C-SPAN interviews, old recordings, you could find your news other than a pundit getting paid $30 million a year.
Well, my argument with a lot of people when they say, yeah, but you know, I don't have the time to do that. And I said, then don't listen to anybody. If you're only listening to liars, why get any news from anybody?
Yeah, but there's a lot of good things you can listen to, especially older things.
I know,
things,
but I'm saying people, well, I get my news from Fox. I say, yeah, but you're not getting you're not getting
that's
your news.
That's not
from
news.
Fox. You'd be better if you just turned it off and you didn't know what was going on.
That I agree.
Because
I
you
agree.
Don't have people lying to you in front of you
right.
and jading your brain and your and the way you're supposed to see things through there.
it's frustrating.
The other thing with the Barack trial, I want to throw this out because I think it's interesting of the timing. If this warrant has to do with that, is that a guy like Barack going this late? I mean, it wouldn't be unheard of. He has a trial coming up in September. September's right around the corner, but it wouldn't be unheard of for him to cut a deal if they wanted to go after some bigger fish.
We will be watching this. I'm saying, watching this.
And if he's in the process of cutting a deal right now and he's cooperating, then other people would have some stuff to worry about, especially if he knew where some of this stuff was. So
the inauguration committee was a big deal, and the chairman's dinner where no press was allowed, and the big money that was being going on there. He was in charge of that. So I don't know how much of that is going to be included in this trial.